This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Today we want to talk about law. We talked about
nine.
This is the ninth lecture. The director pointed that out to me. Today we want to talk about who is Baba. How does he become? Or how do we test to see if he's Baba? What did we say before? What do we mean by Baba? Quickly. But people remind me more and more of my econ students.
In English, huh?
Yes. Proficiency, yeah. Okay, what do we mean, Annie? We gave some more details about it in the past. If, for example, someone is narrating hadith from a book, from his book, we say he's Baba's if. Okay. Let's put it another way. Suppose he's narrating hadith from his memory. We say he's Baba's if. If he's narrating hadith from his memory, we say he's Baba's if he remembers correctly. Well, if he's narrating hadith from a book, we say he's Baba's if he keeps his book correct. He writes the thing down properly and he's able to read it back correctly. So, how do we test if a narrator is Baba's or not? What were some of the means by which the scholars used to check to see?
To check his hadith with other hadith by other ulama.
Okay. Number one, check his hadith. With others' hadith. Mahdoof.
Did you cover this last time?
No.
No.
I don't know, you were here last night.
I didn't find it in my notebook.
Oh no, we didn't, no. We're moving on. Yeah, we're talking now about God. Who is God? Last time we talked about things. Who is Adam? So yeah. For example, there's a hadith. One way before we talk about this, compare the hadith with other. Make it more specific. Other students of the same shaykh. Make it more specific. Compare his hadith with other students of the same shaykh. In other words, keep the noise down, please. Thank you. For example, I think I gave the example earlier of Yahya ibn Ma'in, who read the books of Hamad ibn Salama to 17 of Hamad's students. Okay. His purpose was to differentiate the mistakes of Hamad. How would he know the mistakes of Hamad?
From his students? From Hamad's students?
Yeah, if he's going to read the books of the hadith of Hamad to 17 of Hamad's students, his goal was to know Hamad's mistakes and to know the mistakes of the students. How is he going to know that? Okay, how to know the mistakes of the students?
Compare the students to that.
Okay, compare how everyone narrated the same hadith from the same setting, and supposedly they got the hadith from the same day. And someone narrates it differently than the other 16. Obviously, I mean, this shows that he's a mistake. What about the mistakes of Hamad? Yeah. If all 17 of them narrate the hadith in the same way, and that way is wrong compared to how the other ulama narrated, then he knows that mistake is from Hamad. Imam Muslim was discussing a hadith in the introduction to his Sahih. This is a hadith about when Ibn Abbas came to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ was praying, and Ibn Abbas originally stood on one side of him, and then the Prophet ﷺ moved him to the other side. So which side did he stand originally? Originally he stood on the left, the Prophet ﷺ moved him to the right. This is a hadith was narrated by Yazid. Narrated by the name of Yazid from Quraib. Well, the way Yazid narrated it, he said that Ibn Abbas stood first on the right and the Prophet ﷺ moved him to the left. So what Imam Muslim did is he studied how all the students of Quraib narrated this hadith. And all of them said that Ibn Abbas stood first on the left and the Prophet ﷺ moved him to the right. So therefore he was able to see that the mistake was from Yazid in that narration.
Yazid
ibn Umar? His name is Yazid ibn Abu Zinad.
Abu Ali.
Or the name is Abu.
Because it's famous in Ibn Abi Zinad. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I put everything as Abu, not to confuse anyone. Okay, what's another way to check the validity of a narrative? Okay, or check his hadith with another scholar. He gave an example of that, Muhammad ibn Salama. When we talked about the beginning of the Jahw al-Ta'til, and when did it begin during the time of the Sahaba, we said there's two types of checking also that was done. One we call the time series.
One is cross-checking.
These two are cross-checking. First two are cross-checking. What did we mean by time series? The economist Muhammad Abu Krim.
Let's check the time sequence of the narrator.
Check the time sequence? What do you mean?
The time sequence. Mm-hmm.
Did you miss that lecture?
Mm-hmm.
And you check the person's narration of the same hadith over time. Does he always narrate the same way or is he narrating in different ways? Thereby making some mistakes sometimes. If you have something you'd like to share with the rest of the class, then you can say
I was testing this memory.
So what's another way? Time series. I gave the example earlier, two lectures ago, about Aisha when she had Arwa, her cousin, asked Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As about the same hadith over a year's time. So you check the person over time, is he still narrating it the same way, or every time he narrates, he's making some changes? Then what else? Okay. Comparison between oral and written narration. One time when al-Bukhari was 11 years old, the sheikh in the mosque, I forget who the sheikh is, one of the sheikh of hadith, he was narrating some hadith, while al-Bukhari said, excuse me, that's wrong what you said. He said he gave the isnad incorrect. He was 11 years old. So the sheikh was a little bit surprised. He said, oh, what you boy? In English, translating to modern day English. So al-Bukhari told him, if you have the book with you, you can check to see the way it's narrated. So he went inside his house, in the mosque, and he found his book, and he found that it was his memory was mistaken, and it was the way that Al Bukhari says it was. So that's one way, comparison between oral and recorded narration. And there's an example of that from a scholar by the name of Abdurrahman ibn Umar, who narrated a hadith from Abu Huraira concerning the Dhuhr prayer, that during the summer it should be prayed early in its time. Well, the Zura corrected him and said, this is from Abu Sa'id and not from Abu Huraira. Well, Abdurrahman ibn Umar, and he took it very seriously. When he went back home, and he was from a different town, when he returned to his town, he checked his books, and he found that Abu Zura was correct. It was from Abu Sa'id and not from Abu Huraira. So he wrote to Abu Zura and he said, please tell everyone that I narrated that hadith too, that this is from Abu Sa'id and not from Abu Huraira. And he said, to be embarrassed in this dunya is better than to be punished in the hereafter. So, Don't forget to get the registration, late registration fee. Very late registration fee. Okay. Another way also is comparison between what someone narrates, and between the hadith that someone narrates, and the Quran. Or, not just Quran, but also stronger hadith. You compare what the person is narrating with what the Quran says and what the stronger authorities or stronger hadith say. And perhaps Aisha, some of this sometimes is in fact a matter of ijtihad, actually. Aisha was well known for correcting the misunderstanding of many of the Sahaba. Like when she heard Ibn Umar talk about the one who was in the grave. He said that the person in the grave is being punished because his family is crying over him. He saw a Jewish person being buried. He said that person is being punished because they're crying upon him. Well, Aisha, when she heard that, she said, may Allah have mercy on Abu Abdurrahman and the Lord of the Prophet said that they are crying over him while he's being punished in the grave. It wasn't the way Aisha understood it. This is something that is a matter of ijtihad. Aisha understood it not as bad, that they're being punished because of their crime, while Amr ibn Umar understood. Yeah, there's a book by a scholar by the name of Al-Zarqashi, in which she. That's what looks funny. There's a space action in the front. Anyone would like to change it? Zarqashi wrote the book compiling those incidents where Aisha corrected the other Sahaba.
Zarqashi?
No.
No, Zarqashi.
Zarqashi, that's a Hindi name. Anyway,
I want to Zarqashi.
I will not go into that.
What's the name of the book?
What's the name of the book?
Al-Arabi?
It is Al-Ijaba li-Irad ma astadraktuhu Aisha ala Sahaba. So this is some of the ways that they used to check to make sure that the narrator is valid. If they find him making lots of mistakes by these means, then يعني if someone makes some mistake, does that mean we reject them completely? Yeah, and if it was like that, none of you would have finished your bachelor's degree. So what you do, Yanni, is you kind of grade scores of hadith. You have that top level, which are like the A-plus students, like Imam Malik, Zuhri, people who are specialized in hadith. And then you find some people who made more, a little bit more mistakes, but not gross errors, small mistakes. Gross errors is something else. Gross error is something... And you cannot imagine someone who has aqal, who has narrated hadith in that way. That is what they call ohan. Big errors. That's something else. We're not talking about that. We're talking about small errors. Okay. Besides checking that also, they would make sure that they would not accept narrators, for example, who were known to sleep during class. So all of you are... They will not even accept shuyukh would allow the students to sleep during class. Like myself. Huh? He should remove that person from the class. Because that person is getting some information, halfway correct, halfway incorrect. He's going to say that their sheikh said it. And so for his own safety, he should remove that person. All of us, let's go. Also, they will not accept hadith, and this is all part of Bobbit. If someone is, if he's good in his narrating from his books, yani when he's not narrating from books, he's not considered Bobbit. He does not have a strong memory. They would also reject the narrators who would accept or not squat the practice of talqeen. What's the meaning of talqeen?
If someone does not work.
Yani if someone, let's first define the talqeen and then we'll go. What is talqeen?
Getting somebody to say something.
Okay, what it means in the case of hadith is that if I go to Naif and I tell Naif, these are your hadith, right? And they're not his hadith, but he accepts them and he says, yes, these are my hadith. Okay, this is talqeen. If he accepts the hadith without checking his books or without being able to know whether those are his hadith or not. So they used to test some people by saying, you narrated from Aisha such and such, and they know that he did not, it's not from his hadith. Oh, and if they accept this, and they say, he's out.
So he's no longer considered to be.
He's not considered Bob. They would also not accept narrators who were not, or shuyukh who were not careful about checking the copies. For example, in ijazah or in narration, when people make copies of books, if the sheikh doesn't check it to make sure it's correct, this casts some doubt on the sheikh himself. And if, for example, I give you a hadith book, my hadith, and you just copy it, and I let you go without checking to make sure you copy it, I mean, this is the kind of narrator also, they do not care too much.
Indeed, this takes lots of time, can the sheikh.
We're talking about our deen here.
No, don't Yani Shuyukh use to do something like asking another student to check his?
Well, the important thing, Yani, is that the copy is checked with the test. Maybe it's not important that he does it himself, I don't know. But the copy has to be checked with the test. Or it's best to have someone who knows, even who has memorized the book, to check it.
Hey.
No, they do not take it lightly. So now we have defined who is Adil and who is Bob. Any question about Bob?
Can you just summarize what you said about all the not considered Bob was during the class, was checked by Taqeen and he fell on this test?
For someone who doesn't check and he copies with the other, the original copy.
And the number 6, and all of these is number 6.
Well, this is checking something about how to check it.
No, the 3 things
you mentioned are for not being doubt.
So what?
You mentioned four, not four conditions.
Four things that will make him look dumb. Four?
I don't know, four.
Three. Number one, yani someone who sleeps or doesn't pay attention in class or plays with his children also.
This is included.
If you receive a book from Ilyas and he says those are my hadith, you should come to my copy and check with us.
Why is Sheikh? I mean, he said he didn't.
Also, the Sheikh, if he's not careful about this hadith, also this means he's not Bob. They call him Yani, not Bob. Bob implies Yani not just Pakistan, but making sure even your own hadith are passed on properly. Okay, any questions about this? Okay, so now we've discussed in detail Adl and Bob.
My compatibility is here.
Now, we've discussed in detail Adam from Bob. In general, if someone is both Adam or Bob, they call him or trustworthy. But obviously, not everyone is at the same level. We cannot say that everyone who is idle and has some bhavati is at the same level, right? But the important thing for what we're talking about now is everyone has to be idle. But there are different degrees of bhavati. For narrators to be accepted, everyone has to be idle. Like,
a couple of that out.
What I was saying is that the important thing, Yanni, for what we're talking about so far is that the person has to be Adam. But we have different degrees of love. If he's not Adam, no matter how good he is in memory and writing, his hadith are rejected. If he's not Adam, no matter how good he is in writing, he has a PhD in economics, doesn't matter. Yanni, his hadith will be rejected and he comes down here. If someone is not Adam, no matter how excellent he is at writing and memorizing or whatever, his hadith will be rejected. Okay? But among those people who are Adam, we have a large range. If he brings tea and keeps the busy people busy with tea, this is so this is Ibn Hajar's. Yani, when you read what the scholar said about certain narrators, they use specific terms. Okay? Those terms do not all mean the same thing. Yani, some terms are much stronger than other terms. So what we have here are the different categories of narrators according to Ibn Hajar. The ranks and terms for Adam narrators according to Hadith. He has six categories. Well, earlier scholars had less. Ibn al-Salah, for example, had four, and then we added one and made five, and Ibn Hajar had six. Okay? Looking at the first category, we're talking about the top level, the A plus students. Okay. And they use the superlative adjective in describing those people. The most trustworthy of the people. You don't ask about that person. There's no one similar to him, or I don't know anyone similar to him.
Okay.
I said there's a wellness.
Oh,
okay. sleeping. No, I was sleeping while typing.
Two of them. Second line also.
Oh, on the second line also there's a wow missing.
Yeah.
Also.
What type of hal?
So those first category, and these are the people whose hadith are, and they're experts in hadith. There are very few people similar to them. People like Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Razai, Yahya ibn Ma'in, Imam Malik, these kinds of people. Okay. Second category. Again, they use superlatives. They had a tendency to use yani more than one superlative. Sometimes they use six or seven, but usually you'll see two. Okay? Like the second one, Tabqa Hujjah. Like Sufyan al-Thawri, the two Sufyan,
Yahya ibn Ma'in,
Dhuhayr ibn Mubarak, Imam Malik, Sufyan al-Thawri is someone else, Rawzai was Sufyan ibn Uyayn.
So you went and took Sufyan.
Shabihi would be like the first or second category.
Because Yahya ibn Ma'in
But it's the third category. And in the first two categories, we're talking still at the top level of love. Even the third category, still, again, we're at the high level of love. We haven't lost that much in love, but they are not as expert as the first level. Yeah. Now, these are the terms you'll read. If you read a book called Tahdhib al-Tahdhib by Ibn Hajar, these are the terms that you'll find inside, quoting the early scholars. You should know what they mean and approximately what they're talking about. Okay. So the first three categories, we're talking about people whose hadith are sahih. They do not need any supporting evidence. By themselves, their hadith are sahih. The first three categories. Good looking from the list.
Can you give me the names for the second and third categories we have?
The second and third category?
What can be Imam Shafi?
Huh?
What can be Shafi?
Imam Shafi could be in the second or first category. The second category would include people like Abdullah ibn Yusuf, the Sheikh of al-Bukhari. Now we come to the fourth category. Look what's happening now. Yani we're starting to lose a little bit in volume. And in general, the narrators in al-Bukhari will be from the first two categories, the first three categories. Now, as I said, all the narrators there, their eyes in the sand. We're not when we move down, we're not talking about changes in the level of eyes. They're all the same with respect to their eyes. Someone who's known to be adil but makes many mistakes is preferred to someone who's known to be a liar but never makes mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes when he lies. Okay. And as you see in the terms that they use, yani they use terms which are not like the earlier terms. Like he's honest, and there's no problem with him, nothing wrong with him, not more. And he looks very strongly appreciative term. These kinds of narrators in the fourth category, for example, in Abu Dawud, they meet Abu Dawud standards and probably in this very way. And their hadith in this fourth category will be hasan.
But Abu Dawud and Nasai are from higher
level. I mean, the bottom of there. Oh, Abu Dawud and Nasai, sure.
Yeah. So confused.
It's fourth category, yeah?
The fourth category, yeah. The people's hadith are hasan. And you will find narrators like that in the collection, for example, of Abu Dawud and Nasai.
What about the third category?
Third category, the hadith are sahih.
Yeah,
I mean. As I said, and for Ibn al-Tarah and Ibn Abi Hatim, the first three categories are all just one category. And now we added another category, and then Ibn Hajar added another one to make these six.
You did an answer for the third
category? For the third category? Off the top of my head, let me just get the answer. I'll think of some later.
Okay.
You know what it is. Fiyar, sometimes they just say Fiyar, sometimes they say
Fiyar.
And the next category, notice, Hamza. No, it's Mustalah Hadith. Again, the level of Bob is falling to more. Okay? Yani, what does this term mean here?
Ma aqrab hadithu?
Ma aqrab hadithu, what does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Sorry, ma aqrab hadithu.
Hadithu?
Hadithu? Hadithu?
His hadith, for the most part, his hadith are similar to better hadith.
Not few. One
mistake. No, he makes mistakes.
But
notice, all these terms give the impression that he's okay with respect to his adil, but not with respect to the book. Okay. This person's hadith, the people in this category, we record his hadith, but they are not accepted by themselves. Okay. Fifth category.
Do they have a copy?
The fifth category, their hadith are not accepted by themselves.
Okay. They are recorded.
But you might find their hadith in them. And you record the hadith, and you look for corroborating evidence. You look for other people who support them. Since we don't have any question about their hadith, we know that they're not fabricating hadith, but they're making mistakes. So we record the hadith. If we find other people supporting them, narrating it the same way, then we accept the hadith. But by themselves, we do not accept their hadith.
So we say hasan later?
And in other words, their hadith can be hasan later. Hadith are weak by themselves, and can be
happening.
Yeah? I did not say somebody is one of those narrators. I'm saying that you will find narrators from this category in a certain of these books.
Oh.
Okay. The next category.
Just one question.
Yeah, you want.
He's
honest, but he makes gross errors. I said, remember, gross errors are different from those errors, the small errors. He makes gross errors. Notice that Hasan Hadith, you will find him in the fifth category. And in other words, his Hadith are good, but they're not good enough. So you have to be familiar with these terms, otherwise when you read them, you'll come to the wrong conclusion.
No.
So
what's the right thing about Sadhu
and Taghayyar bin Akhir? He's honest, but near the end of the life, he started to lose his mental. I'm saying that if you say about Ahmed bin Affa, okay, Ahmed bin Affa is born in 1904, he got his PhD in 1990. But Yani, this is what they write, Yani. He studied with his shiokh were Frank Opol and Dickman, by then his students were his son Muhammad and Ammar and his daughter Dari. By then you write Hasan Hadith. Okay. Hasan Hadith in this case is a description of the person. Does not mean that his Hadith are Hasan.
Hasan Hadith.
Hasan Hadith means his Hadith are good but not real good.
Excuse
me. Someone call me?
Yeah, I mean, when we say Hadith, we say Hasan or Hasan, like in the fourth category. We say Hadith or whom?
No. You would use these terms. For the people in the fourth category, you would use these terms. Saduq, Labat, I'm saying that their hadith
are Hasan. Which one is better?
By themselves, it's Hasan. If other people support them, it's
you say that Hadith are Hasan Jalayri.
For the fourth?
For the fifth?
For the fifth category. The sixth category is again a little bit less.
Saduq, inshaAllah.
Anyone? Yani, it shows that they have some question about it. I hope there's nothing wrong with them. Okay? These people also, you record their Hadith. They cannot be used, for example, as supporting evidence for the people from the fifth category. They will not be used as supporting evidence. But if you find many people of that category, many, narrating the same thing, then you might raise a hadith to Hasan al-Ayni. If you find lots of support.
From them.
Otherwise, their hadith are died without question.
Like whom?
I'll bring you some examples later. Before we discuss some actual hadith.
Yuktab hadith? No, yuktab hadith.
Write this hadith. Record this hadith. His hadith is to be recorded.
Suwayla
is a small son.
And the mistake mentioned by
Ba'at-Tabar.
Should
be Ya'at-Tabar. And there's another one, it should be
Suwayla.
Suwayla is correct. The which one? In the yeah, in the fourth category, it should be Laba Fidi. Inshallah, Abu Saud is in charge of correcting these for me and putting all the bell points. You can do that now.
It's okay, Laba.
No, the first one says Laba Lahu, it should be Laba Fidi.
What
would
the Sahih?
Hadith
Sahih or
what? No, the Hadith
was
Sahih.
But
we will discuss it
today.
We haven't heard that part. Mutafaq alayh. Must be
from the first three,
yeah? Yeah, in general, I mean, the Hadith which are Mutafaq alayh or you'll find in the Bukhari and Muslim in general, they are narrated from people of the first three categories.
And other question, we still adopt this classification about the Imam Ali? Oh, sure. I mean, the name. And yes. You have the name, so you cannot change it to range from the fourth to the third. If we learn now that the person was not bad as we say.
Hey, okay. So you call him something else. And then Danny, he discusses some people. He discusses what everyone says about them, and then he comes to his own conclusion. And he uses the same term.
But you are going out of doubt.
So.
You have a strong limit.
Yeah, everything is based on strong evidence. So, any questions about that? That says when you read almost any book on hadith, or any book related to hadith, any collection of hadith, most likely you're going to come across these terms when they talk about any narrator. And other books also, books of tafsir, books of fiqh, they'll mention a narrator and then they'll use these terms. So you should realize that they are different levels in what they mean.
I guess in terms of Sijan, in a good Shabbat for TV.
I'm sorry?
In terms of Sijan, so they were attending the Tafsir or whatever, and they found about Sunnah and Shabbat. Does that mean that you don't listen to him?
Yani, it says Sadduq and Shabbat, that means it's Hadith. If he's the only one who narrated it, that Hadith is Sadduq. I reject it. Also, you should realize that there's some scholars had their own specific terminology. We don't have time, of course, to go into everyone's terminology. But sometimes they would say some things one time and say the opposite another time, and there was no contradiction between them. For example, sometimes if someone says about the narrator that he is tiqa, it does not necessarily mean that his hadith are acceptable or that he's hujjah. Okay. Or they might say la ba's bihi or laysa bihi ba's, I guess. And this doesn't necessarily mean also that his hadith are rejected or sometimes you have to think, you have to look at the way the question was asked. You have to look into more detail and see how the question was asked. Because what they used to say, for example, if I ask you, Abdul Karim is the Sheikh, our Sheikh in Jahwa Ta'dil, if I ask him, what do you think about Naif and Banafa? And he says that Banafa is Tiqa. What he means by that is relative to Naif, Banafa is Tiqa. Okay? So you have to look closely to see how the question was asked and how in what context he said that.
In context, school.
We'll take a break now. Any questions?
Correct.
Nowadays?
Yeah.
Scholars,
yeah. So then now we'll specify them. So now we have the doubt and know that he's from this group.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of course, he has based on information that people from that person's time
recorded about them after his time.
That was it. I mean, those were still alive now. What about them? Can you classify them and say this is from the...
Yeah, you could, but now things are a little bit different because the way things are recorded, and it's very easy nowadays to debunk because you have everything recorded and with you, and you can check it and make corrections, and all the books are published or in maktub form, and they're all almost, and many of them are mutawatir. So things are a little bit different now with respect to both. But of course, you still have to check and make sure the guy is on.
Did you say the
requirement? If it's missing in either one, and here I mean with respect to proficiency, and he is greatly missing. Okay? With respect to proficiency, and he has to be very weak, yani for us to accept, not very weak, but he has to be weak for us to reject this hadith completely. Okay? Because remember we said with respect to bullets, we had upper level and then we came down there. This is like that sixth category that I talked about. The hadith are pretty much between accepted and rejected. Okay? If someone has even less bullets, anyone's down here, then hadith is rejected. In other words, these are the people who make lost mistakes, we cannot trust what they're saying. Okay? But if anyone has any blemish over here, any defect with respect to adl, this hadith are rejected. So if someone is known to be, for example, very honest or adl, and he has a very weak memory, he will still be preferable to someone who is known to have a good memory, but he is not honest. Because in the first case, we are sure that he is not fabricating or making up things. On the second case, we are not sure about that. The Sha'ba ibn al-Hajjaj, he was asked about what kind of people, we'll give a general description of what kind of people we don't accept hadith from, and then we'll describe them in detail. So Sha'ba ibn al-Hajjaj, he said what kind of people we should not accept hadith from. He described four types of people. The one who narrates rejected hadith. In other words, the one who narrates hadith that the scholars are agreed upon are not correct. The liar. The one who makes many errors. And the one who insists on following mistakes even though it has been shown that they are mistakes.
What's the second one?
Liar.
The last category are those people who they're not willing to admit their mistake. They make a mistake and it's shown to them that it's a mistake, shown clearly what he narrated as a mistake, yet he refuses to correct the mistake. That kind of person, we don't accept his hadith. Why? Because he will be saying things, and whether he's right or not, he will insist on what he's saying. He'll never admit that he was mistaken. I'm saying, I'm describing people whose hadith will not listen. Question, right?
That's not wrong.
The third one?
Yes.
The one who makes many errors. What's the test? Fatih, don't sit next to Jared anymore. He just bothers you. You cannot get anything done. The one who narrates any rejected hadith. These categories include, for example, people who narrate hadith that the scholars, the great scholars of hadith, have never heard of. That much there's no source. This also includes people who are suspected of lying.
You mentioned only four.
No.
So what's the...
I'm saying that these are included underneath those categories.
Yeah. When you say
you reject the Rawi because of the hadith that he is narrating, which all the scholars agree that these hadith are wrong. In other words, yani we know that these are not correct and he's narrating them, meaning that he is not false. Because the people that he claims to get these hadith from, they're not narrating this.
Yani we just from other
sources. Yeah, remember we talked about that.
Yeah, he is rejected and dropped, and yet he is still in.
Imam Malik, for example, describes what kind of people not to take hadith from. You listen, Al-Aziz, most of
it. It's your mother.
It used to be a follower. I cannot go back to Algeria. We have it on tape.
What an Imam Malik?
Imam Malik describes four types of people. One is the incompetent one, Safi. Okay? So don't take yani his hadith, even if the people narrate hadith from him. Okay. Number two, a person who lies while talking, yani while speaking in general, although he's never been accused of lying and narrating hadith. Or even if he's never been accused of lying and narrating hadith. A person who follows his own desires or ahwa and calls other people to his desires. What we call that nowadays?
Ahl al-Shahawat,
what we call Ahl al-Shahawat
now?
Bidah, people of Bidah. Calling other people to it. And a person who is yani, very devoted, yani, worships a lot, yet he has no idea about yani, science of Hadith. Yani, he is not academically, he's not yani, qualified to study Hadith. He may pray all night long, but when he hears something and repeats it, yani he repeats it improperly.
Okay. Salihin, huh?
Abad Salihin, la yaraf yani. Okay. What we'll discuss seven categories. Some of them we'll not discuss now. We'll discuss now.
Even though.
That's the point. That even yani, if someone fasts every day and prays all night, doesn't matter. And if he doesn't know how to fast on hadith properly, it doesn't matter. We cannot accept. So the categories we'll discuss here are people of bid'ah. Number one, ahl al-bid'ah. The people who reviled or abused the Sahaba, some of the Sahaba. People who are unknown. These are in general people who are going to reject as narrators. We make the tariq for these people. These are the categories that we will discuss. They are pretty much the categories in general. Number three, people who are unknown. Unknown is ma'ruf.
How do you know that he could
read it? The meaning of unknown is ma'ruf.
We'll
discuss these things. Now I'm listing them, we'll discuss them. Number four are people who are liars. Number five are. Number four are liars.
Liars.
Okay. Number five are people who committed tadlis. Yani those worshippers who. And the qutat, people who tell stories. We'll discuss them in the future. Huh? Some kind of deception. Number six are people who are careless or make lots of mistakes. And number seven, those people who miss hadith together and lost their mind and
due to some اختلاط. Yeah, I will discuss them. And I put them in the same category because I'm not going to discuss them much. We'll discuss it later. I'm just mentioning them first. It's like an introduction. You never in the book you have an introduction and you go on.
That doesn't give you time, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So first of all, Ahlul Bid'ah. Okay, Ahlul Bid'ah. Let's just discuss this in general, okay? Forget about what the ulama said. Is there any reason to reject the hadith of Ahlul Bid'ah?
Fabricate anything.
You mean because someone's from Ahlul Bid'ah means he fabricates hadith?
No, I mean if you what you call it, the Yadi Urq al Hadith scripture could be consistent with his
too much of the reason. Okay. Yani, one thing we have to be careful about people of Bid'ah is that they they might hear something. By the way, I've done this with Christians a lot. You read to them a specific verse in the Bible, one that they use all the time to prove that Jesus is the Son of God, and you ask them to repeat the verse exactly as they heard it, and they'll always repeat it wrong because they'll always add an extra word implying that Jesus is the only Son of God. Then that the many Christians, see, they have the belief no matter how you read it to them. When you ask them to repeat it, they're going to repeat it wrong. People of Bid'ah are the same way. They have their belief when they hear the hadith, they may hear an authentic hadith, but in their mind, and it didn't click. Their mind immediately changed. There was a study done in the United States about 15 years ago. They showed a film. Okay, there's a group of white people in the room, about 40 white people. They showed a film of a mugging. You know mugging? Yeah. Anyone here from New York? Okay. Mugging? Sarapa. Okay, Sarapa. Mm-hmm. Specific type, Sarapa. Where you're walking down the street, somebody comes and jumps you. Okay, mugging. Mm-hmm. So they showed a picture of a mugging. Okay. In the picture, there's a black guy walking down the street, and a white guy comes with a knife. Okay. They talk to someone. Hey. They asked the people in the crowd, 40 white people or so, who had the knife. Almost all of them said the black guy. Because in their mind they have already, no matter what they see, in their mind they already have something. So when it comes to the people of Bid'ah, we especially have to be careful when they narrate hadith that support their Bid'ah. What this means also, of course, is the ulama of hadith have to understand what their Bid'ah is. And the ulama of hadith have to know the different groups of bid'ah and have to understand what is the bid'ah to see when they narrate hadith how they are changing the hadith.
For sure. What about the other hadith that is not related to their bid'ah?
Okay, what about hadith which has nothing to do with their bid'ah?
Yes, you might accept it.
Is there any reason necessary to reject it?
Yes.
Why?
I'm not
sure. For you, yes, I'm not sure. We're doubting his honesty in that field because he has some problem in that area. For example, those 40 white people in the class, mm-hmm. or in that room, who said that the black guy has shown the football game, the score is 30-17, you ask them what was the score, they all say 30-17.
Yeah, but what I mean is, since they have their honesty is doubtful somewhere, I can't trust him, because honesty cannot be defined in movies. So I always hear, or unhonest.
Can't be.
Okay, first of all, with respect to bid'ah, we have to, let's divide the people of bid'ah into different categories. There's one bid'ah, which is actually to believe that Ali is ilah.
Not bid'ah.
So there's some types of bid'ah which leads the person not to kufr but fisq. Translation of fisq. In the Turkish.
No, I don't know that. I'm not familiar with that.
You know
fasiq,
the word
fasiq? Yeah, I'm a little bit familiar with
fasiq. Any, like someone who is an evildoer or something?
Yeah, I'm not
thinking of you. You heard
my between these people, just we can also divide them further into two categories. One who is bid'ah, and the other one who is not calling just bid'ah.
Within the first class, right?
Yes, I said that. No, I said within this category.
This category.
So, now, okay, how about the first category? We said some time ago that we cannot accept hadith from Kaaba, right? We gave reasons why. We'll have to mention them again. What does that imply for this case? Okay, and now we said that there is ijma' to reject the hadith of narrators who follow a bid'ah which is kufr.
Only.
He said this ijma'. Said, Suyuti says that's not true. Said that's not true. There is no ijma' at that point. Ibn Hajar was actually before Suyuti. Ibn Hajar, he was the Suyuti's chair, and the student also. Ibn Hajar is also the student of Ibn Hajar. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani is the student of Ibn Hajar al-Haythami. He says, and this is perhaps the best. There is a difference between kufr and kafir. And if someone could be doing something which is kufr, but he doesn't realize it, he doesn't know that it's wrong, he doesn't know that it's kufr. So he said that if someone denies, if one of the people of bid'ah denies something which is known through what they call ilm al-dhururi, and it's something that no Muslim could deny. For example, this is the Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad is the final prophet. That five times the day prayers are bring to our Muslims. This kind of stuff. If someone denies these things, then all of his hadith should be rejected. Then that narrator is rejected. Because there's no excuse for denying
that.
Fundamentally, the things that every, and even small kids, and he doesn't know them. I don't think. So he says those people, yani, they are rejected completely. Those people, yani, who are less than that, who, yani, their bid'ah is actually kufr, but yani, might be based on some ta'wil or something, yani, which is not clear, not obvious to everyone. He said that's a separate category. We leave that category open for now.
Like my opinion.
Some of their bid'ah is actually
kufr. Okay. Like what?
So, the lecture related to Mu'tazila. Okay, well, now about this category. Why do they distinguish now between that bid'ah, which is this, between those people who call to it and those who do not call to it? Why do they make that distinction?
those who call forward would try to make
Okay. And those who are calling for it, they are trying, yani, to make to put their bid'ah in a good way. Okay. That might include, yani, scripture twisting or yani, changing hadith just a little bit. So, in general, these people's hadith we have to be very careful about. The one who calls to that. What about the one who doesn't call to his bid'ah? Okay, yani he is more accessible because yani we have no evidence that he might change things in order to support his bid'ah. Because he's not someone who's actually trying to bring someone to his bid'ah. Anyway.
What do you mean very careful about it? Because someone should be very careful.
I'll get to what I mean by that. Very careful. Yeah.
Isn't there any possibility that the father, the first not calling for, has been exposed to certain hadith from those people who's calling for first, and yet, you know what I mean?
Still we don't accept his hadith which supports his mother because of that possibility. Mm-hmm. Yani he may have heard it from other people and he's just passing them on.
Yeah.
But then he should mention who we narrated from, and we know those people. But the question, yani, when we talk about narrating hadith, the question is question of adl or dalil. Okay? With respect to these people, yani, who are not calling to their bid'ah, yani, we have no yani, a priori.
You know what a priori means?
We have no any reason to believe from the beginning that he's not adl. So we may accept his hadith even though he's from Ahlul Bid'ah, as long as they are not supporting his bid'ah.
It's a long story to know what's the hadith is called for him and then compare hadith with this
بذلك
جميعنا كنا لا نعرف أنه عدل أو ضعف كيف يعني
نعرف different question. We'll get to that when we talk about مشهور.
What about the this question?
But this category we have, there is a question about this, and we cannot be certain about this being adl. So in this category, we reject this hadith unless we prove that the person is adl.
How come?
Which one is it?
The
one who is calling to the bid'ah.
The meaning is fasiq, which means that he
is adl. Yeah, I mean, no. What we mean by that is that there's some bid'ah which leads someone. That we call the bid'ah kufr, and we call this bid'ah fasiq. But it doesn't mean that the person is kafir or fasiq necessarily. Okay.
You may
mind that he's for example, the Nawazib, we talked about them before. Nawazib, yani, who are anti the supporters of Ali, very strongly against the supporters of Ali.
Do they say they have kafir?
No, not they don't. Not quite. Yeah, I'm, at least not all of them. Well, and there's some bid'ah which is it is hard to say whether it is kufr or not. Okay. And the early ulama they were very careful, yani, saying whether it is bid'ah or not. I mean kufr. Sorry. What else? So in general, even with the people of bid'ah, the question boils down to this. Okay. Unless we know that group. A bid'ah makes it permissible to fabricate hadith in support of their bid'ah. In other words, if there's any group, like the Rafidah, and in many of them, they used to, when they after made, they made Toba, they said, we used to get together and fabricate hadith, and then, yani, this was our deen, we would distribute it to the people. And Imam Shafi'i said, you may take hadith from anyone except the Khatabiyyah. Well, Khatabiyyah are those Rafidah who said it's okay to fabricate hadith. and in Gabriel. So if we know that that bid'ah permits the fabrication of hadith, then we reject all of the narrative. But in general, the question is still a question of Adwullah. So just because the person is from Ahlul Bid'ah does not necessarily mean that his hadith will be rejected.
It can be recorded.
Yeah, it can be recorded, it can even be accepted in
it. It's supported by other people.
Let some of them, and some of those people, are and taqa by themselves. Especially the early generation from the Tabi'in, there was many people from the group that they're called Shia at that time. We talked about the difference between Shia and Rafida. Okay? And these people from the Shia, they have small bid'ah. That small bid'ah is they believe that Ali was afdal al-sahaba, the best sahaba. That's bid'ah. Because the jumhur al-ulama, the sahaba, they agree that Abu Bakr, ba'din Umar, ba'din Uthman, ba'din Ali. That's why they chose them in this order as khulafa. Okay? So this is a bid'ah. Okay? But those people who held that bid'ah, many of them were great scholars of hadith. And we cannot reject their hadith just because of that small bid'ah.
Yeah,
yeah.
The hadith that supporting that
I mean. Yeah. Most of them, in fact, didn't even narrate hadith related to this stuff. If you just ask them, who's better, Ali or Abu Bakr, they'll say Ali is better, and they'll bring hadith which are well known in favor of Ali. Mm-hmm. Like the hadith of
Ali as the Madinah.
No, the hadith model. The hadith of Khaybar. When the Prophet said, I will give the
Sahara's.
Right. Now, other hadith, proving the status of hadith. So there are three hadith which are well known and are authentic. And it's not the case necessarily that they are saying hadith that the other ulama do not know. But what I'm saying is that they are not necessarily bringing hadith that we don't know to support their bid'ah. We know the hadith. But they are maybe giving it more emphasis or interpreting it a little bit differently than everyone else.
What do you call it if someone believes that Ali is better than Abu Bakr, when you call him bid'ah?
Because it is well known from the Sahaba, they agree that the best one is Abu Bakr, Ba'din Umar, Ba'din Uthman, Ba'din Ali. Even Ali ibn Abi Talib, he said the same thing.
He said what?
He said that the best Sahaba were Abu Bakr or Umar.
He mentioned that, huh?
Hey, Abu Bakr, Thumma Umar. He said, we always said that the Prophet ﷺ came with Abu Bakr and Umar. The Prophet ﷺ did this and with Abu Bakr or Umar.
So, if he did this, why he didn't make bay'ah for Abu Bakr?
He didn't make bay'ah for Abu Bakr.
After 6 months.
No, he made bay'ah for him originally and then he repeated it in 6 months. But this is the history,
according to the non. What about Uthman and Ali?
What about Uthman and Ali?
Who's better?
The
Jabur
ulama
and
the
Sahih
Uthman.
And Ali, did he mention that Uthman is better than him? He didn't mention, for sure.
This is someone whose hadith should not be accepted. You make statements like that.
Outside, they have other stuff.
They don't agree, Ali Shakur will agree.
No.
You can find reports from Ali talking about Uthman and Uthman's status. He accepted Uthman, he made bay'ah to Uthman, he was one of Uthman's advisors.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. He didn't mention the word better, he didn't mention.
Yes. أهل السنة والجماعة دين
for sure.
طيب شوف هذا the question again. Even with people of bid'ah, even with the people of bid'ah, the question is still عن وقاص. Well, this is why, for example, if he goes to Sahih Bukhari,
when the quote from Sahih Bukhari. Now, okay, if you go to Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, and you take the narrators from Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, you will find 16 from the Murji'a, 7 from the Nawasib, 26 from the Shia, 29 from the Qadiriyya, 1 from the Jahmiyyah, 2 from the Haruriyya, and 1 from the Waqfiyya. Haruriyya is a group of the Khawarij. لا 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 لا
we're talking about these people I described, not the Rafida. The Shia, Pro Ali.
It's not actually, I'm not that either.
Far Rafida.
Okay, he's
a very good thing. So
you.
Can you repeat Bukhari?
From Al-Bukhari and Muslim. I think it's in Ahmed Shafi's book, I think. That's not who I quote here, but anyway. You'll find, quickly, 16 from Murji'a, 7 from Nawasib, 26 from the Shia, 29 from Qadiriyya, 1 from Jahmiyyah, 2 from the Haruriyya, and 1 from the Waqfiyya. Waqfiyya, yani those who say the Quran was neither created nor it wasn't created.
Can
we know two? We'll not be able to find like that. So, any questions about Ahl al-Sidah? Any questions about them? So, second category that I mentioned are those people who yani make sabd al-Sahaba. Yani say yani things that improper things about the Sahaba, abuse or revile the Sahaba. Among these people, we can divide them into three categories. Okay. First category is yani those people who yani abuse them in such a way that they call most of them kuffar or fasiqin. Yani for example, Rafida in their book of hadith called Usul al-Kafi. They say that after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, all of the Sahaba were apostates, yani murtadeen, except Naqdad, Salman, and Abu Dharr. Yeah, that's another riwayah, but the Rasul al-Kafi mentions these three.
What's Ali?
Yeah, that's the problem. Ali is not included, Fatima is not included, Hasan al-Husayn is not included. Yani, sometimes you have to think, even if you're from Ahl al-Bid'ah. Included among yani this group, yani that yani people like Al Khomeini, who wrote in his book on Islamic government, he accused Abu Huraira of fabricating hadith, and he accused Samura ibn Jundub of fabricating hadith.
Samura.
Number two. Are those people yani who cursed the Sahaba? La'na, yani make la'na for them. Or swear at them. Okay. Among the yani the ulama are divided about these people. Some say this is yani kufr or ridda, and some say it is not.
Kabira.
Those it is kabira for the other group, for the other people. Those who say it is not ridda, they say this person should be flogged and imprisoned until he dies or repents from his sin. And we're dividing the okay. The first group, and for sure we have to reject the hadith because as I said, they're doing something which goes against something well known from the Quran, which is all the Sahaba Adam, and they're calling him kafir and fasiq, and it goes against something well established. The second group, it would be something like this. For yani as I said, there's two opinions. One opinion says kufr, the other one says fisq. Those that say it's fisq that the person should be imprisoned and flogged. Okay? The third category is the people who yani they say something about the Sahaba which is yani like a type of insult, but not like la'na or something. It's like saying he was
this Sahabi was stingy. Bakir. Bakir, yeah, or he was a coward. Okay. This is also a type of
Sahabi al-Fatah.
Small.
Yeah.
But
the Sahabi
al-Fatah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's called.
Not a
the third category.
The second example again. Say it's color. It's also a type of just, but it's not as great as the second category. And mostly this discussion is about one group, and that's the Rafida. They are the ones until now, and if you go to Iran, they still make some of the Sahaba. And for this reason, yani, the hadith should be rejected.
No, no.
Just giving an example. But any questions?
What you like?
It's forgotten. The third group. Third group will be treated like these people. Type of bid'ah, which is
so you mean you divide them also to call and not call them?
No, no, just bid'ah, which is good, yeah, and back. And he should be asked to be repent.
To repent, that's one who made.
And from the third category. So if any questions about that, how much time do we have?
12:30
is maximum. Okay, 12:30 is maximum, then we'll stop there and we'll begin next time with the Majhool, unknown.